Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here one more day with our good friend Sean Breeden, who's been with us all week long. Sean is a brother here from Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's a husband, a wonderful wife, Lexi, that together they have three beautiful children. He's a member of Christ the King Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's a successful banker and just a wonderful brother who just has been sharing a lot from his heart about his own journey this week. And I hope if you've had a chance to listen to the program that you've been encouraged by it. But if you haven't had a chance, you're just tuning in today, I recommend you go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them at your convenience. And I want to remind you about the free booklet at the end of the program that you can call in for, What Happens When I Die. You know, each one of us, we've been talking a little bit about identity and ultimately destiny this week, that living in our identity as sons and daughters of God, living in the truth, declaring it, standing in it is transformational. And often we get lied to by the enemy that we, number one, things like our history determines our destiny, right? Our identity is based on what I can accomplish myself as opposed to what God himself has given to me. And he wants us to be able to step into that freedom of the children of God. And I want to thank you, Sean. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for all that you brought us this week so far. So we're building on identity in Christ. We're building on standing and declaring the truth. We ended the program yesterday on that. You have something a little bit different you'd like to share today.
I do. So, I mean, it's not hard, I suppose, you know, that this is a topic that's on my heart, but I feel like in prayer, I definitely sense there's this weight of despair on many of the faithful right now. I was giving a talk for a group of college students a couple weeks ago, and I really felt God saying, I need to refresh their souls. You know, before we talk about whatever you want to talk about, let me refresh them. And I said, it was a talk on living boldly for Christ in daily life. And I said, you know, raise your hands. Has anyone, since this sex abuse crisis started unfolding, has anyone been more hesitant to speak about the church, to speak about Jesus? And almost every single person raised their hand. And I feel like that's a word for the whole church as well. And there's so many good things about our disposition towards this that have come out, this righteous anger. Like, let's clean up the church, do everything possible in our power to make sure that, you know, that our children, our young people, our seminarians are protected. There's this righteous anger that God loves, right? It was Jesus that was, you know, knocking over the tables of the money changers, making his father's house into a den of thieves. Like, he is with us in this battle. But some of the things that I sense and that I read on social media is this tone of, how could God let this happen? Like, I'm going to take matters into my own hands now. If they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And there's something good to that of, like, God's equipping me to help bring about the justice that he desires. But at the same time, we need to bring God along in this journey of seeking justice. We need to trust in his providence that he has a plan, right? And really rest, you know, in that truth. And I feel like the verse that kept coming up was Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So for everyone listening, first, before we get into the details, God wants to refresh your souls. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace to know that, yes, I'm going to use you to clean up the church, but I want you to invite me into this process. Let me give you the peace that you need to do this and to do it well.
You know what? Maybe we should just take a, so we don't forget, just take a minute to pray for this peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord, we just ask right now, every person listening, that you would plant deeply in their hearts a trust in your providence, that you will take care of us, that you truly are a good Father. We ask for that the peace of Christ would just inflame their hearts, that they would feel it tangibly right now, that they would know that their peace and their joy is from you, and it is unshakable with the circumstances of this world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sean. And I, as you were praying, I was thinking of the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer of Hebrews basically says that the Father disciplines those whom he loves, and that all discipline for a time seems painful, but it yields peaceful fruit, righteousness, and the things. But what God is after is that we're able to share in his love and live with him more fully in his love. And I believe what we're seeing is that God, a loving father, is disciplining his church to purify her so she can be alive in the way you've been talking about this whole week with us, because his heart, as you experience God's ache for the lost, for those who don't know him, for a world that's spinning away from him in so many ways, his bride is meant to have the heartbeat of Jesus and the heartbreak of Jesus for those who don't know him. And if she's lukewarm, if her salt's gone flat, or if her life's gone dim, if she's compromised, or she's accommodating to the world, and she's not radically in love with him, he said, you're no good to me if that's the condition that you're in. So I believe he's pruning his church. He's breaking strongholds that need to be broken in the church. It's something we need to cooperate with and align ourselves in the Lord. But remember, we're not orphans.
Right.
That we're children of God. And this is a discipline that's coming on the whole church for our good. And it's for the sake of the salvation of the world, for the church to live its mission with greater fruitfulness and effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And I feel like in some ways, because of the difficulties the church has been experiencing, I feel like people are giving themselves a free pass for despair.
Yeah.
Almost like the promises of joy and hope that Christ will give us, they're irrelevant during this time because this is the season that we're in. And I feel like Christ is saying, yes, this is terrible and we need to deal with it. But I keep coming back to Romans 12:12 that says, where he commands, you know, he basically, St. Paul says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. He words it as an imperative, as a command. You know, much like our belief about when Jesus says to love your neighbor, he's saying, I'm not asking you to feel an emotion of love. I'm asking you to choose to love. And I think it's the same right now in the church that God is saying, no, be filled with hope and joy. He's not saying, I want you to feel this sort of Pollyanna kind of emotion that ignores reality of evil in the world. No, but I'm asking you to encounter something that is unshakable, not an emotion of happiness, but the true presence of the hope and the joy of Christ in our hearts. And I'm so excited that during this season of Advent, there's such a grace for God to pour that out. And my mind keeps thinking about the Old Testament and the promises of God, you know, coming to fruition where, you know, Abraham is promised by God, I'm going to give you land, the promised land. I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless the whole world through your descendants. And they get pieces of it, right? Pieces of the blessing. And then they're 400 years in slavery in Egypt. And then they get the promised land, and eventually it leads to the Davidic dynasty, and they finally have a king, and they have this nation the Lord has promised them. But then even that eventually falls apart, and there's 70 years, the Babylonian exile and Roman occupation of the Holy Land. And there's this ache of the people of Israel of, there's got to be something more than this. God, break into our human reality and bring us freedom. And I think that's where we are as a church. And of course, then so many people made the mistake of saying, God only wants to save me from the earthly evil, the political evils that are happening, and didn't see that Jesus was coming to not only help us in the earthly physical world, but to break the chains of sin and death in our lives and in our hearts. And God wants to clean up this sort of political things in the world and all the details of what's happening in the church and in the hierarchy. But we can't miss the bigger promise of bringing hope and joy into our hearts, of breaking the chains of sin and death, not only in the world in general, but in my own life. And he wants to just fill us with that hope and joy in a new way to experience that ache the people of Israel experienced. We need a savior. We need something new to bring us out of this. And God wants to draw us into that ache for him as we approach Christmas Day with Jesus coming. He wants our hearts to be totally open and letting Jesus reign in our hearts in a new way during the season.
Oh, that's really well said. I really agree. I was thinking of the situation in the church. It's difficult to look at as the Lord uncovers it. He's uncovering the wound. And it's important for us to be able to look at it and say, wow, Lord, look what sin does. Look what sin does in the body. And I was thinking of Jesus in the circle of the 12 of his most intimate friends. Who was in that circle? You know, Judas was in that circle, the one who sold Jesus, who basically, you know, betrayed Jesus. And on the night that he was to be crucified, everybody pretty much abandoned. Pretty much everybody mm-hmm. abandoned him, right? And denied, Peter denied him. And the Lord is giving us a moment of grace here to look into the window of what's been happening in dimensions of the church and the sin that's been allowed to be present in the body and how lukewarm and how worldly the church has gotten. And that gives us some understanding of why the mission hasn't been that fruitful, because our expectation of God and his greatness and his mercy and running in the Lord has not been what's burning in the heart of many, many leaders in the church, but they're on automatic pilot, like you described at the very beginning of the week, and kind of wrestling with the struggles, but their faith has gone, their light has gone dim, many of them, at a very serious level. And when that happens, we start looking for, just like you said you did way back on Monday, you described when the light begins to go dim a little bit, you start looking for comfort, for distractions, for living really in a different place and worrying about yourself, as opposed to being lit up with trust and hope and confidence in God, is the way you've been describing it.
Yeah. And there's such a grace during the time of Advent. I just love this song, you know, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and several other Advent songs where there's this imagery of aching for God to free us. There's this imagery of light piercing the darkness. And, mm-hmm. and as you say in some of the talks that you give, you know, as the darkness gets darker, the light is going to shine that much brighter. And I keep thinking, we go back to, we talked in previous shows about rooting ourselves in the promises of Christ. And I feel like God wants to remind us during this time, what are the promises that he made about the church's hierarchy, mm-hmm. right? He actually never made a promise that our church leaders would be sinless.
Right.
So in some ways, I feel like almost like we're holding Jesus to a promise that he never made. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to trust him to lead us, but focus on the promises that he did make, that he will guide the church in all truth, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, promise that he will be with us to the end of time. Root ourselves to the promises that he did make, mm-hmm. you know, very deeply, without sort of putting words in his mouth. Of course he wants to purify the church, but to take it to the next level and say, there are sinful people in the church, therefore Jesus has left us.
Yeah,
I think that's a bad conclusion to jump to.
You don't leave Jesus because Judas was in the circle.
Exactly.
And that kind of thing.
And of course, if he made that promise, it would have been broken very early on, right?
Yeah.
He chose Judas, who betrayed him, right? So again, just being rooted in the promises that Jesus did make. And what I feel right now in the church is this grace of the Holy Spirit wants to be our comforter, you know, our paraclete, this, O comforter, to thee we cry, O gracious mm-hmm. gifts of God most high. Question is, are you allowing God the time in prayer to comfort you during this abuse crisis? Are you giving him the time to refresh your heart so that you can be salt and light in the world, so that you can radiate his hope and joy during this season? Let's really root ourselves in that.
Great exhortation. John, thanks for being here this week. It's gone by really fast, and I hope to can have you back again sometime.
Absolutely, anytime. Yeah.
And friends, the truth that Sean shared with us this week, this is life-changing truth, and it's truth for you. I think sometimes we can hear God's word, we can hear it preached at Mass, read at Mass on Sunday, or hear other people talk about it, but we don't often internalize it and own it and say, that truth is truth for my life and life-changing truth for me. Jesus is with you, friends, in the season of Advent. He's preparing us for his coming. May our hearts be ready for him every day. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.